You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce, and I've got the tiniest pair of... Thank you for bringing extra headphones, Roy. You know what? I'm one of these guys that doesn't need a headphone. I mean, I could probably take the microphone down and just scream into the like little hole and people could hear me. But I got to tell you, they're playing Quebec today. The Boulders are. Mm-hmm. And it's DARE, D-A-R-E, lunch bag giveaway day. And the kids get to run the bases. And I got to tell you something. I looked at that stadium. That's as nice as any A-ball stadium I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's nice. It is.
It's beautiful. Now, look, I'm getting ready to coach a season down here. This is my third year with the River Dogs. And I compete in the Cal Ripken Collegiate Baseball League. And for those of you that don't know what that is, college kids come from all over the Eastern Seaboard, basically. I do have a couple of kids from Texas this year. We had a kid from California last year. But we get host families for the kids that are from further away than like an hour. And these host families give them a bedroom, you know, basically act like, you know, their aunt and uncle.
Like a foreign exchange student.
Absolutely. But it's even better than that. Because let me tell you what kids do that play baseball. We play every night, pretty much. And if we don't, we go to the Nats games, you know, because I've got tons of tickets, and we'll go to the Nats games. We may even go see the Orioles, although I, you know, only to see the, you know, Camden Yards, because, you know, the kids that haven't been there need to go there. That's kind of bucket list stuff when you get older. Yep. And you know, I'll drag Camden Yards off their bucket list if we go up there. But anyway, make a long story short, what happens is these kids play every night. Well, after the game, we don't waste time. We clean the field up. We're there 15, 20 minutes, you know, drag the field, put the tarps up. Everybody goes and eats. Now, some people go eat on their own. A lot of kids will just go with me and eat barbecue somewhere, and we'll do something. We don't get home till midnight almost every night. So they go home, hit Facebook, hit Twitter, watch a little TV. 2 o'clock, they're asleep. Okay, hopefully. And then hopefully they're in the house, too.
Right, of course they are. Right, college students, yes.
Yeah, they're 20, 21, 22. These kids don't – we already had something going on today.
They're doing their nightly chapter of Bible
reads. My buddies
here
got real interested because we got pushed back. In New York, I'm sure they had the bad weather, too. I mean, this thing worked its way up the coast. I don't think it was as bad in New York as it was on the Outer Banks in North Carolina. We had – what, we have 7 tornadoes that touched down in the Washington, D.C., Baltimore area?
Matt, your Facebook page had a picture of the tornado going through Sterling, Virginia.
Yeah. It was unbelievable.
Crazy to me.
Well, let me just tell you, Sterling is where my daughter's, one of her best friends, lives, and she stopped at the house right when she had heard that at Sterling there was a tornado. So when there's tornadoes, the chances of it hitting your... pretty much like almost hitting the lottery, I guess.
And Virginia's tornado warning. You're like, of course.
Yeah,
right.
Whatever.
I'm gonna go to the store real quick.
You're supposed to be in the basement. And if things get, if you hear something like a loud train outside, it's not a train.
You duck.
Yeah, go downstairs, get in a bathroom somewhere and just, you know, hold on, duck and cover. You listen to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce, talking to Roy Edwards of sportsmancave.com everywhere. That,
right.
You should just have a logo that
worldwide
says sportsmancave.com everywhere, because he's in Boston, New York, Morgantown, West Virginia, D.C., Baltimore. Where else?
Philadelphia.
You're in Philadelphia.
We just started Philadelphia.
You are a very nice man, because I got to tell you.
I was bugged about it. Everyone was like, why aren't you in Philly? Why aren't you in Philly?
He was torn.
Fine.
Because I'd have to come there sometime.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't like Philadelphia, that's why. But, you know, it's whatever.
But anyway, there's a lot of stuff going on. We were going to talk first and foremost about our conspiracy theory that it's probably not much of a conspiracy, really, because it's not the first time it ever happened. I remember a guy named Patrick Ewing being drafted with the first lottery or one of the first lottery picks ever, when they had the lottery. And Patrick Ewing, as everybody knows, was an All-American out of Georgetown University, 7'1". Run the floor, block, 5-6 shots a game?
Yeah, he was a beast.
Averaged 25 points a game. Went to Georgetown, played for John Thompson. New York Knicks won the lottery.
Yeah.
And I think that they weren't even, they might have been fourth, had the fourth easiest chance of winning it. Mm-hmm. And they won it. Well, that turned out to be worth how many billions of dollars for the Knicks, having Patrick Ewing play for the Knicks?
Well, it can be argued this day that that was like the beginning of the mecca of basketball in New York.
Yes, it was. Well, no,
argued. That's what I'm saying.
You could argue it, but it would be not true, because the best Red Holtzman and Willis Reed and Dave DeBuscher and Bill Bradley and Walt Frazier, and there was another. I can't even remember the other guard. But those were that was the best team ever played there. But, trust me.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying that Patrick Ewing put he helped. That was New York basketball. When people think about the Knicks, right. You think about Patrick.
Well,
Ewing.
You do because you're 26.
Okay.
I don't because Dave DeBuscher, by the way. was a major league baseball pitcher for the Chicago White Sox, in addition to being a daggone, you know, all NBA forward. Mm-hmm. Now, this was back in a time. You know who else played on that game?
On that team?
Your coach, Phil.
Oh, yeah?
He played on that team. He was like the sixth man. He was skinny as hell, but he'd come off the bench and he'd light it up from the corner. He'd rebound a little bit. That was back before people trained as hard as they do now. That was back before, you know, back then, people didn't even lift weights that played basketball because they didn't want to get tight. Mm-hmm. Well, now, look at these
now
guys.
You do lift, now,
now
you
they want to jump out of the gym, so they have to lift weights.
Well, what I was saying, my whole point behind that was, is that there was this, in the 80s was a time when people from other states started to pay attention to professional teams. Whereas before it was, I mean, you could be the greatest team I've ever played and all that, but it was more, if you're from New York, you like the New York team. If you're from Washington, you like the Washington team.
That's true.
And that was a time when Ewing came in and you have people from North Carolina liking the Knicks kind of thing.
Put the Garden, I mean, the Garden was already on the map, but not to the extent it was with radio, television.
Exactly.
Sports, advertising. You know, money started, you know, people started making a lot of money in sports in the 80s, 90s, zeros, and now especially.
That's when you saw the LA Kings, who are playing in the Stanley Cup now. They you saw those
Wayne
hats.
Wayne Gretzky, they pulled Gretzky out of Edmonton.
You saw those hats everywhere.
He married a
and the
movie
Oakland
star.
Raiders, the 80s rappers, they all wore those Oakland black hats. It was the black LA Kings hats, the black Oakland Raiders hats, and they became like a fashion statement. Same with the Knicks. The Knicks were the same way.
You know what? You go to an NBA basketball game, and I'm telling you, the merchandise in there on people is in the probably tens of millions on any given day. You know, shirts that cost, you know, $300, throwback jerseys, hats.
I do love throwbacks.
Necklaces.
I have so many throwbacks.
Hey, you know how many pairs of shorts I have like I'm wearing here? Yeah. I have San Francisco Giants shorts on, and these are the real deal, by the way. But I have probably 30 pairs of gym shorts, really nice, you know, shorts. And that's all I wear. I wear and I wear like flannel gym pants.
Flannel?
They're not flannel. What's the soft fabric that everybody uses?
I know what you're talking about.
No, it's not cotton. Come on, help me out.
I don't know. It's like a silk.
It's expensive.
The silk stuff.
No, it's not silk.
Silk boxes.
Anyway, you're listening to Bruce Hall, and my mind is gone. Hey, listen, I do want to. You pointed out what were the Rockland Boulders? What was their record? Was there like 6-8 right now?
Right now they are. I want to say they're 5-7. I don't have it pulled up right this second.
Well, anyway, they're playing Quebec, and I got to tell you, they come all the way from Quebec. Now, they were in first place last year,
right? Yeah, Quebec won.
Didn't they win it?
They won the league last year. They're 5-8 right now.
Let's pull up a list of the teams they play. The teams they play real quick before we take a break. The Bears.
The Newark Bears.
The Bears.
There's the New Jersey Jackals.
You know, look at that logo. That's a great logo. That's a great logo. Is that Worcester over here?
The New Jersey Jackals, the Quebec.
Who's WOR?
Worcester Tornadoes.
Worcester. That's Massachusetts. Okay. And then what is this over here? The Air Hogs? What a great name. GP. Where's GP? Grand Prairie?
Well, there's the league that I'm seeing is
Kyle's laughing at us at the studio.
Three-time
Canadian American League. Who is that?
Who is the three-time defending champs?
Quebec? Not the Bears. Quebec.
Quebec is.
It was Quebec. Hey, listen, we're going to be back in a minute. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
I like sticky everywhere. Look around, you
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. Spruce Hall Second Opinion.
That is Grand Prairie Air Hogs. What a great name. I'm the River Dogs. They're the Air Hogs.
That's a. I want that. I'm telling you, I want a Boulders hat.
Well, you know what? We're going to get one. Because
I want one.
We're going to figure out today or tomorrow when we're coming up. And we're going to come up for 2 or 3 days. And we're going to have fun in New York. I'll even visit my daughter. Oh, man.
See that?
That's the ring.
That's cool, right? That's her ring.
Unbelievable.
Chelsea Duffy, I'm shouting you out right now. She works for the Giants and the Yankees, actually.
And she got her Super Bowl ring. That's a beautiful ring.
And here's her with the
Yankees.
And
you know what? I love the Giants, and everybody that listens to our show knows I picked them around the end of October, right before they lost 5 games in a row.
And
they were in the midst of losing 5 in a row. You know what? Oh, that's the Yankee.
That's the Yankee ring.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's tight.
It's pretty cool, right?
No, it's very cool. Hey, by the way, what's with Mark Teixeira? Now, I was reading. He's got, like, the worst congestive kind of cough I've ever seen. I hope it's not tuberculosis. I don't think it is. There's something going on. Maybe he's got, like, you know, mold in his house or something.
I'll tell you what,
it doesn't take a lot of mold to make you feel like you're
dying. It is the season for mold, isn't it?
It is mold season.
When you're warming up.
Well, especially when you get like 10 inches of rain in 5 hours.
Yeah, right after the spring, I guess.
Because
right?
it's gonna mold stuff up. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. And I got to tell you something, man. I'm pumped up. Hey,
I'm all hopped up on Mountain Dew.
Can I brag on somebody? Can I brag on my man?
Go for it.
Steven Strasburg yesterday, 7 innings, four hits, 9 strikeouts. He's sick. This guy's sick.
He's dirty.
You know, and I'm going to tell you something. His last game before that, he wasn't that sharp. Yesterday, he had everything working. He threw his changeup, I swear to God, Roy, 8 times in a row, and everybody swung and missed at it.
Well, it looks like
it was 91 miles an hour, his changeup. And that same guy, the last batter he faced, 99 mile an hour fastball. See, you wouldn't want to be. You're gone. I mean, what are you going to do with
that
pitch?
That's not
fair. It was on the black, knee high, outside corner.
That's really not fair.
If a guy's going to throw there, funny story. Sergio Casilla, you know, the guy, the closer now with the San Francisco Giants. We're talking baseball. Can you tell? I mean, it's baseball season, so we're going to talk about baseball. Sergio Casilla is scary when he gets a bat in his hand. Now, not long ago, maybe a week ago. Excuse me.
Mold.
There it is.
Hey, I can see it running down this wall. Anyway, Sergio Casilla had to bat one time this year. Now he's hit before, but he is the you'd be better off having your best T-ball kid that's 4 years old is a better hitter than Sergio Casilla. I swear to God, he is. And he walked up to the plate, and you could tell he didn't want to be there. And he was jumping out of the box every pitch. And they were lined up. The Giants were on top of, you know, the rail at the dugout. And they were all in tears. They were laughing so hard. And I got to tell you, he got the win in that game, by the way, because he had to pitch. You know, I think it went 14 innings. It was an extra inning game. And so they had to have him hit. He's not, you know, normally your closer doesn't hit. Normally your 8th inning guy doesn't hit. Normally your 7th inning guy doesn't hit. When you go 14 innings, sometimes you got to have a guy go 2 innings. And he might, if you have a good inning, hit. Well, the Giants scored 3 or 4 runs in that inning. So rather than go to into their bullpen for somebody that's not really anybody they want to use, they just let Casilla hit. It was scary to watch. Now, there are certain hitters in the league, in the American and National, well, in the American League, they don't hit. They have designated hitters. But in the National League, there are several pitchers that are good hitters. Steven Strasburg hit about a 400-foot bomb last week. Before that, who else? Gio Gonzalez has
Gio
three
Gonzalez.
Doubles.
Yeah.
He's got three. He bats righty and throws left.
Edwin Jackson's not a bad hitter either.
They're all pretty good hitters. Yeah. Who was the other guy that hit the bomb besides Strasburg for the Nats? One other guy did. I can't
that
think.
I don't know.
It was Jordan Zimmerman.
Last week, hit a bomb.
Hit an absolute bomb. Hit it in a game he lost, and it was the only run they scored.
I try not to watch most of the Zimmerman pitched games because he doesn't get much run support.
Well,
I kind of tally those as a no decision or an L.
Well, you're right about that. You really are. Hey, let's talk basketball.
All right.
Let's talk NBA basketball.
Let's hop into it.
Since there's really no other basketball to talk about right
well,
now.
Well, first.
Let's talk about the draft.
Yeah.
Was it fixed or not? I say yes.
I
say yes. Look, I don't have to think about it. Of course it was fixed. Look. Do you remember the presser when they came out at the press conference?
Yeah.
And David Stern, I swear, he and Benson looked like they were lovers. Now, honest to God, they both look kind of goofy anyway. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But my point is, he was in love with this guy. Why? He bought the New Orleans franchise, right? Took it over, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Benson's got, he's a billionaire. You know, and I'm telling you, David Stern, he likes money. Big, you know, he really likes money. And what did he say? What did he say? Well, he said, every NBA owner should be like this guy.
Well, he was kissing his butt, definitely. No doubt about it.
Well, it's a big one to kiss, too. And I got to tell you something. The other thing about that whole thing, Benson had just come off his NFL, you know, deal with the Saints, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lost his coach for the year. You know, that's whether he comes back two-thirds of the way through, we don't know yet because it's under appeal right now. And you know how I feel about that. They should have never took the coach, just take the money.
Yeah.
You know what Benson's fine was? A tip at a restaurant, $500,000.
Well, now it's... Now that they didn't find him that money, that could play into this conspiracy.
Now wait
theory.
A minute, they didn't fine him. What did you read that?
No. I'm saying like big fine that you're talking about. That
right.
You're saying that
was nothing.
Don't punish the owner. You know, get rid of the coach.
Well, they punished the coach. You know, $7.5 million worth.
Right.
Yeah. He's not worth a billion.
Sean
Payton.
So if you do that to the owner, then he can't buy the Hornets. You can't buy the Hornets. Then the league is stuck with the Hornets for another year, and they don't know what to do, and they're boycotting trades, and
he could have bought the Hornets, even if you find him $10 million. I mean, look, if he's borrowing money, which he is,
mm-hmm.
he's putting down 10 to 20%.
I'm just throwing into a conspiracy.
Well, I'm just telling you the way the money business works. He put down, what did the Hornets go for anyway? Like $280 million or $580? It was like, I want to say it was like $280 million. It wasn't a lot.
I got to look that up. I have no idea.
But I guarantee you, he put 40 down to
$318 million.
That was close, right? Yeah. $318 million. So he put down.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah, he put down $60,000 plus to buy that because he probably financed 80% of it. At like some incredibly low percentage.
Well, Stern, I guarantee Stern was in a hurry to get rid of him.
Yeah.
The NBA owned.
Yeah, I know.
I put that in quotations.
Who else did they own at one time? They own another team.
Supersonics, maybe.
I think you're right. I think it was Seattle. You know,
the Hornets have been everywhere.
It was like Major League Baseball last year. Bud Selig, of all damn people, was threatening to take the Los Angeles Dodgers, which, by the way, just sold for $2.15 billion. Yeah, I want Bud Selig, a used car salesman, owning a $2.15 billion operation. The guy can't even run his own team, okay? Can't even run. Now, what he can do for you, Bud Selig, is if you get caught doing steroids and you test positive, he'll figure out a way to get you out of it because he did it for Ryan Braun. That's another conspiracy, and I totally believe that one. I do.
Yeah.
And they fired the guy that was the arbitrator. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Major League Baseball, that's everybody but Bud Selig, wanted something done about Ryan Braun. Because obviously, look, somebody just came out. He was on ESPN Radio this morning. Not Buster Olney, the other guy. And I forget the other guy's name. But he was on the John Kincaid show. John Kincaid, I love. I don't know about you, Roy, but I love John Kincaid.
Mm-hmm.
John Kincaid feels just like I do because as soon as this guy, this is like Kennedy conspiracy. Every time somebody comes out with a really good book about the assassination 50 years later, the establishment comes out with, you know, another book that's all BS to try to offset, you know, the truth. And this guy came out with a statement that basically said, Ryan Braun's stats are exactly like they were last year. Yeah, you know why? He was juicing last year, too. Ryan Braun had a great season last year. But I'm going to tell you about Ryan Braun because I've watched him since his rookie year. When he first came up, he looked like a basketball player. He was long, lanky. The word about Ryan Braun was he couldn't put any weight on. Now, not only does he look like a big, strong dude, probably 235, you know, because he's tall. He's got to be 6'2", 6'3". He's getting Achilles tendon problems. He's getting hamstring and groin problems. Do you know what that's from? That's from squatting 500 pounds of weight, okay? When you're squatting 250, your Achilles tendon and all your tendons can handle the weight. When you're squatting a lot more than your body's used to and your muscles have gotten so much bigger. See, they figured out how to make muscles bigger. They haven't figured out how to make tendons bigger.
Yeah.
And guess what? Welcome to my welcome to the world of juice, yeah. Ryan Braun. If you think your foot, and by the way, he's already said he's not going to tell anybody anything. He's not even giving interviews about it. What does that tell you? Hello. Hello, Ryan Braun. All right, look, well, we're still talking about basketball.
Yeah.
So we're talking
Believe it or not, we are trying to.
It's listen, if you, I don't know if you can tell, but it's really hard to talk about basketball during baseball season.
It's early. We're bouncing around
but
right
listen,
now.
But listen, my Celtics, baby. I'm riding them like, you know who I'm riding them like?
Like Secretariat?
I'll have another. Oh, we need to go up next week.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we're going to Belmont Saturday.
Actually, I can't do it next week.
Oh, come on. You sound like one of my players. You're going to the WMZQ Festival?
No, I'm not going to WMZQ Festival.
You going to go watch? You going to go drink beer for 15 hours?
I got to go to a wedding
next week. Try to drive home?
I got to go to a wedding next week, actually.
If it's not your own wedding,
it's not mine.
You shouldn't go.
Uh-uh.
All right, well, I'll go up to the. I'll go to the racetrack.
I would love to go to the racetrack.
Look, you got to go.
Kidding me?
You got to go to pregame.
I did get to go to pregame.
I didn't get to go. So I'll go. You know what? Yeah, but you got to come up. When's the wedding? Saturday?
Sunday. I think it's Sunday.
Where is it? Where is it?
It's in West Virginia.
Well, God, you might not be ever be heard from again in West Virginia.
I went to school there.
Whatever,
you know me there.
Hey, whatever you do, don't get in a canoe on the river, go hunting.
No bath salts.
I've seen that movie. It's called Deliverance. Wee. Anyway, I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on WFAS 1230 AM. And I'm talking to Roy G. I loved interviewing you because that's fun. Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Who's going to win this thing? I say Okie City.
Yeah.
Still,
I've been
how
saying
about
Oklahoma.
What they did in the third game? That was just unleashed,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. And they came
they
out.
They spread them out.
And they came out game four in the same way, hitting shots and looking good. And the best part about last night's game, is that Durant and Westbrook didn't have to be the main contributors.
Westbrook scored 7 points.
Yeah, I mean, Durant came out and
he had to at the end.
But the story was about Serge Ibaka and Kendrick Perkins and the big men down low and what they did. Serge Ibaka went 11 for 11.
I know, and he blocked 3 shots. Hold that thought because we're going to talk about that great team. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. This is AM 1230 WFAS.
That's what I'm talking about. That's how you bring in a segment.
I was running the music last night, and I had West Springfield, by the way, in Northern Virginia, beat Lake Braddock High School, which is Lake Braddock was in the top 25 of the country last week, and they lost last night. And it was a great game. Some of the weirdest calls I've ever seen. You know, after the fact stuff. And really, to be honest with you, after the game, one of the biggest runs that was scored, the guy should have gone back to second because catcher's interference was called and the guy stole third base while the play was going on. Nobody ever noticed, and I wasn't going to tell anybody because that's the coach's job.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, Jody, don't you want that guy to go back to second base? No, but it was a great game. The only run that was scored until the seventh inning, I think, was a bomb to right center by a kid who's going to go to James Madison University next year on a scholarship. And that's kind of sad to see, but West Springfield, I mean, beginning of the season, those kids weren't even all that great, and they ended up finishing really strong.
It's kind of sad for me to hear about the Northern Region sports because we covered them last year.
Well, you used to give T-shirts away at every – Roy came over to Madison High School where I coach and had a big game one night, and my boy played second base for me, ended up getting a T-shirt. And biggest picture you had on your website was that goofy smile of his holding up that shirt. I'm Bruce Hall. You listen to Bruce Hall.
Yeah, we covered the Northern Region and Kenny Towns.
Big time.
Who
he's in Virginia.
He plays at UVA now, yeah.
Yeah, and he's going to be real good. And he came from Lake Braddock High School.
Yeah, he did.
Paul Pierce had a good game last game. you know, the Celtics are going in today. The Heat are 1-point favorites. Personally, how can you not take the Celtics in Boston? You just got to. What are they going to do about Kevin Garnett? Plus 27, Roy, in the game. And, you know, they went small and tried to do what?
Well, they tried to
run.
Yeah, they tried to put LeBron at the five. And
it didn't work.
They figured that his weight and his body could hold down Garnett, but Garnett's tall.
Yeah, he's tall and he's still athletic.
That was, I mean, even the doc talked about it. He said, you know, when Garnett's there and they're playing that small lineup, just throw the ball up, you know?
He may be the best coach in the NBA right now.
He's good. I mean, you got to talk about Popovich if you're going to talk about best
coaches. Yeah, I like Pop. Well, Pop's doing it different, though, and Pop's kind of done it the same way. But who gave Boston this kind of a chance? Yeah. You know, if they can win tonight, they got a great shot.
And you can't forget about Game 2. That's really when this swing happened.
Absolutely.
Where Boston put it to Miami in Game 2.
Right.
They absolutely did. And a couple plays here or there, some swing, a little bit of momentum, and that game ended in overtime.
Right.
Now, you saw that momentum carry into Game 3 where Boston, you know, took over that game.
Well, they did, and they got confidence. Yeah. I mean, they got real confidence in running their offense.
In Game 2, Boston was like, "We can play with these guys.
Of course
we can run with these guys. And we're not the old team everybody thinks we are." Whereas Game 1, they were that old team that everybody thought they were. But they had just come off a long series.
They are who we thought they were,
and they're starting to get their legs back under.
That was me. That wasn't a recording, by the way. I just sound a lot like him. Shane Battier, what's the deal with Shane? I mean, is he just going to quit playing? I mean, he didn't. I mean, I'm sitting here looking. He had 3 points last game. 38 minutes of play. 0 for 6 from the field. 0 for 4 from the 3-point line. You know, he's just in a slump, isn't he?
Well,
he is. Dwayne Wade had 9 for 20. He was minus 8. You know, it's hard to, you know, Matt, you know, Miller's kind of a non-factor, even though
I hate Mike Miller.
Yeah, everybody hates him. He's a University of Florida geek. You know, it's hard to like those guys.
I'm
hard to like anybody that does this. I'm making the Gator.
The Gator clap.
It's hard to like that.
I'm not a fan.
And by the way, but let's talk about the Gators real quick, just to jump to another subject.
Yeah.
First time in 31 years, anybody in the NCAA baseball tournament has thrown a no-hitter. And it was thrown by a dude wearing blue and orange. And I got to tell you, they're good. Now, we're going to talk a little bit later on about the NCAA baseball playoffs because right now, this is the weekend of the regionals. The elimination games are taking place at 11 and 12 and 1 o'clock today. And after that, there's only two teams left. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of those cases, a team has to lose twice for them to even not go. Because there's a couple of teams, you know, in every single region, there's somebody undefeated. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of upsets, too. Big upsets in the East. But we'll talk about that later. Here's what I want to put to you, Roy. Okay?
You got
a mortgage payment to make. You got half the money.
Mm-hmm.
You flip a coin with Boston and Miami. Who are you going to take in Boston? I got to take the Celtics. I don't see
Are you talking tonight or the
I'm
first
talking
series?
About tonight. Tonight.
Okay.
Tonight.
Okay.
Tonight. Tonight's game, it's a 1-point game.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you take? Don't you have to take the Celtics?
I feel like I have to take. Yeah, I feel like I have to take Boston at home.
I would have took them if they were -3.
See, I feel like Boston.
I would have took them if they were -3. I wouldn't have gone to 4 or 5. But I think they win. I mean, I think there's a 70-75% chance that the Celtics beat the Heat tonight.
I don't see
any players besides Dwayne Wade and LeBron.
That's the key right
they
there.
They don't have any players.
Chalmers is playing about as good as he can play right now, but he's not anywhere near a big three guy like a Chris Bosh who they're missing.
Absolutely.
Where Chris Bosh, he's starting to work out a little bit. He's starting to run through pregame drills and everything like that, and they desperately need him back to check Garnett. But the thing for me is is that Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, who you're talking about, those are the big two guys, they had to do all the work from pretty much the second half of that Indiana series, the first two games of this series, and I would argue that these two guys, are even more tired than the Celtics are from playing that long series.
Well, they're a lot more tired because look at who the Celtics have. Look at last game, Rondo is turning into a team player.
Jeez.
He only had 6 points. 10 points. I'm sorry, but he had 6 rebounds, 4 of them on the defensive board. He was a +5, 2 offensive rebounds. You know what he was? He was 9 for 16.
He had 21 points.
He had 21. I'm looking at the wrong line.
He had 10 assists,
but that was, you know, he did everything. Ray Allen took the night off, which is what Ray needs to do sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what Ray did do? He played defense. He was a +4. Ray Allen played defense last game. They didn't need him to hit the three, did they? And Bass, what did he do? He just got a bunch of rebounds. He was in foul trouble most of the game.
Yeah.
He really was a non-factor. Paul Pierce had a great game.
Paul Pierce did what he does.
He didn't shoot that well, but he made all his free throws. They were 20-26 from the free throw line.
Which, when you look at the Miami Heat, that's another big line that scares me about this game, is that combined between LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, 5 free throws.
Paul Pierce is injured, obviously. You know, he's, you know, they're talking about it a lot. I mean, he's just hurting a little bit. So I'm guessing as we get into the playoffs, that's going to be a big story there, because they're going to need him to score. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are. They're just going to need him to score the points. And I don't know if he's going to be there to do it, but I think today he is. And you know, KG, he only played 33, 34 minutes the other day.
Mm-hmm.
He dominated that game. He had 11 bounds.
Yeah.
You know, he only had 4. You know, he does make a lot of turnovers because he puts the ball on the floor a lot. He had 4 turnovers. But, God, I mean, what a great game these guys played. They did. That's the thing I like about Doc. When, you know, Doc has the pedigree. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
He was a great player. Mm-hmm. He was a great player. Doc could play the one or the two, but he was a one, really. And Doc Rivers, I'm telling you right now, he went to Marquette. You know, he played for Al there. And you know what? That was a guy that knew how to coach. He's had great coaches everywhere he's gone. I think he played for Hubie Brown in Atlanta. I mean, Doc is the guy. If you put together team players that are pretty healthy at playoff time with a great coach, you're going to get a lot of wins that way. I don't see that happening in Miami.
Well, yeah.
Do you? I don't even like the coach.
I don't like their coach.
He's terrible. I mean, well, he's not terrible, but look, he was approved by LeBron James, so he's got to be okay.
His winning record, his record of winning, I should say, not his winning record, because it's not even really that impressive of a record, is basically all from when LeBron came over and this big three was started. Because if there's no big three and it's just Dwayne Wade in Miami, I don't think this coach would be there. I don't think the Heat would be, you know, I don't think it would be this setup that we see now.
Hey, yeah, you're right.
And that's what confuses me, because when LeBron James was talking about, I want to go play for a contender, I want to play for a Hall of Fame coach, I want to play for all of this. Well, you don't get that out of Spoelstra. You don't get that out of him. So I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe he could pull a Dwight Howard and go in and say, hey, I don't want to play for this guy. As what Dwight Howard's now doing in Orlando.
It's going to be real.
Guy fired.
I agree. It's going to be real interesting what happens in Miami in the offseason, because something's going to happen.
Pat Riley must have you know, taken LeBron out and schmoozed him and said, hey, I'm that Hall of Fame guy.
It's not even just that. You know who else did? He called Dwayne.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
And he called. He'll be there. I'm sure he'll be there, and I'm sure he'll be making some big money. Even if LeBron and Dwayne give him some money. To make it work, now, the Heat sell out pretty much every night. You know, it's a franchise that's going to be fine as long as they keep some guys there. You know, we're getting ready for a break, but let's talk about a couple of things real quick. First and foremost, the NFL situation. You know, with pretty much everybody that's going to be fined or set down. The NFL Players Association filed a grievance. With the commissioner's office, you know, with the NFL office. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be real interesting to see what happens pretty soon. But did you know this, Roy? This is very important.
Tell me, Bruce.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. I just might stop to check you out. Let me go.
I want you to want me.
What a great song.
Oh, yeah. This reminds me of college.
This reminds me of... Actually, this was after my college days. Big time.
This is like 80s night at the Cheap Beer.
Who is this?
Cover band just standing up there.
Who is it? Sticks? Oh, Cheap Trick. That was 80s.
They're all awful. Cover band. Just terrible. But you're drunk. You don't care. $500 band for the play for 6 hours.
All right. You know what?
Awesome.
Hey, you know what I'm looking at right now? You're not going to believe this. I'm looking at Tim Tebow's Admirer Matrix. And this is on NFL.com.
Of course it is.
I swear to God, it is on NFL.com. And we got to talk about Tim Tebow. We would be absolutely stupid not to talk about Timmy. But look, you know I like him, and you like him too.
No, I love Tim Tebow.
I do too. And you look, with Puppy Love, look, they've ranged this from Puppy Love to Cougar Alert. I kind of like the Cougars personally myself. I'm not much with the puppies because I just, you know, Cougars are Cougars. But Puppy Love, let me tell you who the Puppy Loves are. Number one, Puppy Lover. Well, Lindsey Vonn, the skier.
I don't even know who that
She's
is.
She's hot. You don't know who Lindsey Vonn is and you're 26.
Who's
you're a moron.
Vaughn?
Never mind. Katy Perry with her blue hair.
I do love Katy Perry.
That's a Puppy Love deal. And this is about women that admire Tim. Olympic skier Lindsey Vonn is newly single and a friend of the Tebow family. And I got to tell you something. She's hot, buddy. And she's athletic. And she's tall. And she's naturally blonde. Not unnaturally blonde, which to me is a big deal. I like blondes, redheads. I love my wife. She's a brunette, but I you know, something about that. Win or lose, number two, Maria Menounos. I don't even know who these people are. I don't care about her. It says she's one of Tim Tebow's biggest fans. You know, I'd put a big who cares right there because he doesn't get my approval to date her because I don't know who she is. Okay, Tim, forget about it. Write this down, Roy. Call Tim. Tell him to forget about Maria Menounos. Number three, Kim Kardashian. Oh, God. Oh, did you say, oh, God?
Kim Kardashian.
Can I tell you what?
Why does it not surprise me that Kim Kardashian is high up on a list about athletes and crushes?
Can I tell you what? If he had sex with Kim Kardashian, he'd have a heart attack. That is just way too much woman for a guy that's a virgin, in my opinion. Kim Kardashian is in need of an image makeover, and the reality TV star reportedly has her heart set on Tebow to do the trick. Hey, wait a minute. I don't like the way they use that word. Let me repeat this. This is on NFL.com, by the way. Kim Kardashian, I swear to God, you can't make this stuff up. Go to NFL.com right now, click on it, and the first thing you see is Tim Tebow alert. Kim Kardashian is in need of an image makeover, you think? And the reality TV star reportedly has her heart set on Tebow to do the trick. You know what? I like Tim, but she would be so bored with that guy inside of 3 or 4 days because A, he's not going to do it. B, he's kind of goofy. She's not goofy. She is wild. I mean, next to wild in the dictionary is not her picture because she's a lot worse than wild. Number four, with the help of matchmaker Rosie O'Donnell. Now, I do like this girl a lot.
Rosie O'Donnell?
No, I'm not. I haven't gotten to the girl.
I was about to say, man.
She's the matchmaker. Listen to what I'm saying. With the help of matchmaker Rosie O'Donnell, Jenny McCarthy walked away from the Super Bowl with Tebow's digits. Does that mean she was holding hands with him? I think it does.
Doesn't Tebow have a girlfriend?
No.
No, absolutely not.
No, and if he does, I'm saying no, he doesn't.
Who was that way? It wasn't
He's
that girl.
Single. He should have at least three girlfriends. That's what I tell all my kids. Three girlfriends, 2 days a week, each girlfriend. Let them all know that you're seeing three girls. And the other night is the boys' night out. That's the way to do it.
Boys, no, I just want to dance.
No, well, there you go. You can dance with thousands of girls. Hey,
just dance.
Here you go. Number five, fella Florida. Oh, here's another Gator deal. Oh, I don't like her. Erin Andrews, please, on Tebow's arm. The pair would be a match made in Gator heaven. Erin Andrews, in my opinion, has got severe baggage.
I like Lolo Jones.
Well, everybody likes Lolo Jones. Look, don't go there yet. Tim Tebow was spotted in Georgia. This is number six now. We've already said Erin Andrews is we're kicking her to the curb.
T Swizzle.
Hey, T Swizzle. Tim Tebow was spotted enjoying dinner with Grammy Award winner Taylor Swift. Now let me tell you, I don't know what these kids see in her, but all of my kids
have you
love,
not seen T Swizzle?
She's anorexic looking.
She's a rapper these days. Have you not seen this?
Are you talking about Taylor?
Heard about this? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Taylor Swift?
YouTube Taylor Swift rap video.
I haven't seen it.
She's not a rapper. Obviously, she's not a rapper.
She's not even
she's
much of
star,
a singer, in my
but
opinion.
But she's in a, I want to say it's Akon. It's either Akon or
Taylor Swift.
The guy with the hat.
What is
T-Pain.
She? But why are guys so high on
are
her?
Are you going to play it? Are you going to play the rap video?
He's going to try to find it. Hey, PR stunt or true love? Only time
Kyle,
will tell.
Kyle, watch the dump button.
Oh, my God. She sucks. Rapping hardcore, no, I ain't got a gong, no, I never really been in a club, still live with my parents, but I'm still a thug, I'm so gangsta, you can
what's
find
not the love about this?
Yeah, she's gangsta, all right. She's a prankster, not a gangsta.
What's not the love about this?
Who is that guy?
What?
Who is the dude with his sunglasses?
That's a T-Pain.
Who is it?
T-Pain.
I have no idea who that is.
You don't know T-Pain? I'm on a boat.
I know Will Smith, that's it. That's me, Will Smith.
There it is. There it is.
All right. That's enough. Please, turn it off.
What's not to love about T-Pain and T-Swizzle?
Where do we tell people to go to see that?
That's YouTube.
YouTube baby.
YouTube.
YouTube.
Taylor Swift raps.
My tube. Taylor Swift raps.
That's why I love Taylor
it
Swift.
It wasn't that bad.
That's why I love Taylor
it
Swift.
It wasn't that bad. She did better than I could
She
have
raps
done.
About cookies and living with her mom.
Hey,
I love it.
Roy, if you write me a rap song, I'll rap. Hey, numbers. Hey, can I finish this?
Right
I'm getting
now.
To the cougar alert. Can I finish this? Number seven, Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue cover model Kate Upton. Now that is a woman. Took photos with the Denver QB at the Vanity Fair Oscar party.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Mark Sanchez, beware. Well, Mark Sanchez, beware, period. Number eight, the ultimate rebound just might be Katy Perry. No. Anybody that hung out with Russell Crow or whatever the hell.
Oh, so he just broke up with his girlfriend. That's what all this is about.
Yeah, evidently.
Wow, it's all clicking. Now.
Yes, it is. My boy is probably going to lose his virginity within days. Number nine, Glee star Diana Agron. It has a new fan of Tim Tebow. Okay, if you know the Glee star. Is she the blonde?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't watch
Number
Glee.
10, Tim Tebow has met his match in USA track and field That's star Lolo Jones.
That's my girl.
Me too. And I like Lolo. And I think, well, Lolo's... God, boy, I tell you, would that be an athlete, that baby?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Would that baby be able to do 48-inch vertical jump,
that's
maybe?
That's why I like her. I like Lolo Jones and I like Lindsey Vonn.
You know what? You know what that baby would be? A much better tight end than the cat with New England.
Lolo Jones, look at her. That is an athlete.
Yeah, she's absolutely ripped.
That's what you know. What a date with Tim Tebow and Lolo Jones consists of? Sprinting and arm wrestles.
I know
that's what they're going to do in their first.
They're
going
to go to putt. They're going to go to a putt putt course.
They're way too competitive for putt putt. Both of these guys.
You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm talking to Roy. I'm talking to Matt. We're talking about Tim Tebow's options when it comes to love. Go to NFL.com. You know, generally speaking, I went here actually to see if anything lately has happened. Well, evidently, this is it.
Obviously.
This is absolutely it.
There's all kinds of things happening.
Yeah, I tell you what.
About 10
how old
them.
Is Tebow? 24, 25?
Probably about 23, 24.
Yeah, I think he's older than that. He's been in the league 3 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he came out.
That's right. And
he came out when he was 22.
So he's probably 25.
Yeah, he is.
He's 24.
Maybe
25.
You know,
August.
People keep talking about the Cincinnati Bengals. You know what?
I don't know why.
You
but
and
they
I
do.
Yeah,
don't
but
they?
Yeah, but you and I. You listen. We both look. You and I both agreed early on. At least I thought that they would probably win 10 games this year.
No, I do.
I don't see Pittsburgh having a breakout year. I think they're going to rebuild.
I have Pittsburgh 9-7. Actually,
yeah, but I have the Ravens winning 11.
I made a bet actually with like one of my buddies that the Pittsburgh Steelers would finish exactly 9-7, and if they finished any more or any less, I lose.
What's the over under on Mike Holmgren staying in Cleveland? How many weeks?
I don't even know if Mike. Do you think Mike Holmgren even knows he's still in Cleveland?
Well, he does all of his radio out of Seattle.
That's right. That's what I mean. He's like
I don't even think he has an apartment.
I live in Cleveland.
I think he's. I swear to God, I don't think he's got a place in Cleveland.
Get my manager on the phone. I don't.
Who would put me in Cleveland? What do you mean I'm the general manager of the Browns?
He says they.
The Browns.
He says they. What do you think about the? What do you think about the Cleveland
Browns? I thought you said the Chicago Clowns.
What do you think about the Cleveland Browns? Well, they looked okay last year, I guess. They were pretty dumb leaving.
Does anybody know who the Chicago Clowns are? Negro League baseball team.
Yeah,
they've been around for years and years.
Chicago Clowns.
The Chicago Clowns. Look it up on your your African American history thing.
When it
over
comes
there.
To baseball, I believe anything you say.
Hey, let me ask you a question: are the Bills going to be that much better in the East? You know, what did they win this year? 6 games. I think they ended up 7-9 or something. They might have even been 8-8.
The Bills will be better, absolutely.
But you know, they signed Fitzpatrick last year, and now all of a sudden they're getting all these guys. But you know what? No one's told these guys they got to play 2 games in Toronto.
they're going to be hood. They got that. All right. They re-signed Mario.
Hey, get on the damn bus. We're going to Toronto to play today.
They signed Mario Williams, which is a big.
He's
big
a monster.
And I mean, their defense was not that good, and in a pass rush for Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I mean, you have to remember that Fred Jackson got hurt. That was
that killed him.
That was the real decline.
Yeah, you know what?
But
they were using him too much. That was the problem.
Well,
yeah, but you know, they didn't have a lot of depth at running back.
They'll be better.
They're going to be a lot better. Hey, here's some news. Lawyer for suspended New Orleans Saints linebacker Jonathan Vilma hit back at Roger Goodell on Saturday, accusing Goodell of being misguided and irresponsible. I've called him worse than that.
Oh,
in a statement obtained by NFL.com's Steve Weiss. Steve's a good reporter, by the way. Statement comes a day after the existence of an alleged ledger. Oh, God, there's a ledger like in The Untouchables, you know, with Capone. Was leaked to the media as key evidence in the team's bounty scheme that gave cash rewards to defensive players who injured opponents. Commissioner Goodell accuses Saints players of putting money on the head of specific opposing players, the so-called ledger, as described by the anonymous. See, this is what screws everything up. Anonymous sources. Anonymous. Identifies no players either saying it's all crap. And see, that's what they're saying. Here's the problem. They signed away all their rights, the NFLPA did, in the last minute bargaining to get the CBA done last year. So they really have nothing to fall back on. They have turned Roger Goodell, I would never use God's name in vain, and I must be doing it right here. I hate to do it.
But
I'm not doing it in a bad – what I'm saying is he's taking too many liberties as commissioner of the NFL.
You just have to say
he is the senator's
respect.
Son. His father was a state senator – was a U.S. senator from New York. Got his job as soon as Robert Kennedy died. As soon as Robert Kennedy was assassinated, he was appointed senator, I think by the governor. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. we're going to be back here. We're going to be talking baseball, my favorite thing to talk about, and Roy, too.
Yeah.
Roy, I'm going to tell you something. Roy loves baseball because he likes the Orioles. He loves the Nats.
I wouldn't go, I like the Orioles.
You know what? I'm starting to love. What's with. Hey, will somebody call in to the studio? 240-317-7294. Mike, if you're out there, call in and tell us what's wrong. Please tell us what's wrong with Texas cough. He's got a terrible cough. You're listening to AM 1230. WFAS. We'll be right back. Cleveland rocks. Cleveland rocks. Cleveland rocks. Cleveland rocks. Mama knows, but she don't care. She's got her worries too. Start a band called
Blue Green Orange Jelly.
What show? We're doing a show.
Blue Green Orange Jelly. Blue,
it's 11:04. I gotta turn on the clock. Listen to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're coming out of Larchmont, New York, right now on the air, but we're all over the airwaves on What is this called? Streaming or some kind of crap?
Yes, Bruce. We are streaming right now.
What is this thing with a computer? I'm sitting here looking at all kinds of stuff.
We are streaming on your TuneIn Radio app.
Oh, my God.
And at Bruce Hall Sports and at SportsmanCave.com.
There's an WMZQ concert starting at 4 o'clock, which means, you know, most of our young people will be inebriated by 5. And I don't even know who's playing at MZQ this year.
I don't know either. No.
And if you have this problem in New York, too, my condolences to all of you.
I've never been, actually, to WMZQ.
Why? That's hard to believe.
I swear.
You never had a ticket? I think you have to buy a ticket.
I've never been.
I think you got to buy a ticket. We're going to talk Major League Baseball right now. We're going to start with our favorite teams to talk about because we do go out of New York. And I got to tell you, what a great week it was for Johan Santana.
Johan.
Now, I don't care what they say somewhere else in St. Louis or wherever the hell, or the Post-Dispatch put an asterisk.
The asterisk, yeah.
They put an asterisk next to the no-hitter.
It's pretty classless.
Because, well, it's St. Louis. I mean, St. Louis, you know, have you ever been to St. Louis?
No.
Let me tell you what there isn't.
Have I ever been to St. Louis?
No. The arch is unbelievable. You got to go just to see the arch
and
read.
I've seen it on Google.
No, you're not listening. That's why you never learn anything.
I've seen it on Google.
When you go inside where the arch is, you can sit in there and read about American history all day long and not even get a tenth of the way through it. It is one of the most phenomenal places I've ever been if I want to learn about American history. Seriously, because they don't teach you this crap in school. I don't even know what they do in school anymore. They don't do much, I can tell you that. But listen, let's talk about Johan.
Yeah.
I turned on the TV the other night, and I got a lot of stuff going on. I've got kids coming into town. I'm, you know, getting host families, calling this guy, calling that guy. And all of a sudden, I hear, you know, I'm not going to say he doesn't have a you-know-what, and I knew what they were talking about. He had a no-hitter going in the sixth inning. And I know Johan's coming off his second Tommy John surgery. He's had, like, arm surgery 3 times. He started out in Minnesota. He was unbelievable. He was throwing 97, 96, 98 miles an hour his rookie year. He had a slider that was like 88, and nobody could hit it. The problem when you throw a slider, young kids and fathers of young kids, is that you're going to have a zipper on your elbow before you're out of high school. Because when you throw a slider, you really do break it off a little sideways, a little down. And if you throw it a little bit with a bent elbow, which most guys do that want a lot of break on it, it's going to do a damage eventually.
Yep.
We had a kid who was pitcher of the year in Northern Virginia this year. And I saw the kid throw 4 times, and he was phenomenal. I think he was, you know, he was on the all-region team as a freshman. He gets it up at 88, 89 from time to time, usually 84 to 88. Freshman kid, probably 15 years old, but his best pitch was his slider, and I'm telling you, it was almost unhittable for these high school kids. They couldn't hit it when he was throwing it near the plate. His fastball was good, and he has a good changeup. He needs to throw the changeup 20% more, and he needs to throw the slider 20% less. Just food for thought, Dad, if you're out there, unless you want to just have him keeping score of games when he's in college, because he won't be pitching anymore. I'm Bruce Hall, and I think I know everything.
Can you record that?
It's actually true. You know, well, the story is, and I say this because it's true, I thought I was wrong once, but I was wrong about being wrong, so I was really right. So, you know, I really wasn't wrong that time I thought I was wrong. Of course, that's not true, because when you play here and there, and you're looking at things we look at definitely during football season, but, you know, a little bit in baseball, a little bit, definitely. Oh, let me tell you, I don't care if he goes off 2-5 next week. I'll take another. He's going to be Seabiscuit again.
I hope
And I'm gonna load him up on top and underneath just in case, every exacta anywhere from $10 to $100. I'm going to take like $2,000 up there and bet it. I got to. God, I got to. You know, how often do you see a triple crown? Not very often.
Yeah, apparently not.
Not very often, ever. you know, the Yankees got beat with a walk-off last night in Detroit. What's wrong with Mark Teixeira? If you know what's wrong with Mark Teixeira, either send me a tweet at Bruce Hall Sports or hashtag BH Sports, or call us at 240-317-7294. Looked like Tex was coming out of his slump for a while. Now I'm not sure. You know, they've got the players. They're supposed to get Gardner off the DL. I think he might even be off the DL He might be doing rehab in AAA right now. But when Brett comes back, you know, they're going to have a guy on base a lot again. Jeter's been on base all year. Granderson is starting to do what Grandy does, which is get on base and drive in runs. Robbie Cano, he's just a freaking Hall of Famer already, in my opinion. You know, I think they're getting their catcher back, Russell Martin, because he's not healthy. I think he's hurt, you know.
I'm surprised you haven't mentioned Derek Jeter yet.
I love Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter. I just talked about
him. He's second in the AL right now in batting average with a .358. The dude is doing work.
What's his OBA, though? Is his OBA even over 400? I don't think so.
Third in the AL, and his OBA is .384.
See, that's the problem. Batting average doesn't mean squat. Do me a favor. Check a couple of things out for me, if you will. Hold on one
second. Well, he's ninth in the AL with OBA.
He is.
Mm-hmm. It's not bad.
No, it's not bad. I'm going to tell you who's having the years right now, and then we're going to talk about what's going to happen today in the National League. Because I am turning into a Met fan, and I'll tell you who I'm really turning into a fan of. And we're going to talk about this because this is big news, and it's been big news. R.A. Dickey is my hero. 37 years old, this guy is. He'll be 38 in October. Just came out. You know, he went to the University of Tennessee. We talked about him before. You know, he's the guy that came out with, you know, My Turn at Bat. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a story about his life. The guy was an English lit major at the University of Tennessee. Graduated with a 3.35 average. Smart kid. Grew up in Nashville. At least he was born in Nashville. I'm pretty sure he grew up in Nashville. I think he came from a, you know, I haven't read the book. I've read parts of the book. But I think he came from like a one-parent family. Had a lot of things, bad things happen to him as a young man, 8 years old, as early as 8 years old. Saw him interviewed this week, and somebody did an interview with him. It was somebody's son. It's the guy, this is how my brain works. It's the guy whose father was absolutely famous, but he's not quite so famous. He did the interview with him, and I swear to God, he was in tears, and it was really hard for him to talk about. But look what this guy is doing. You know, if you want to see what this guy is doing, go to Mets.com. Go to NewYorkMets.com and just take a peek at his numbers. His numbers are staggering. He's also a knuckleballer. Yeah. Now here's how his story worked, people. Okay? Here's how his story worked. He ended up, you know, going to Tennessee for 4 years. He didn't sign after his third year. That was a long time ago. He got drafted in 1996. I swear to God, 1996. And he wasn't 17 or 18 when he got drafted. He was 22 years old. He ended up getting drafted by the Texas Rangers. Now, if you remember back to the 90s, the Rangers weren't much. They really weren't much a lot, okay? I would say that at that time they were probably – he was the 13th pick in the draft, first round. He got an $815,000 signing bonus. Now, they were getting ready to sign him, and somebody got a picture of him and looked at his arm, and his arm was hanging funny in the locker room. And so they actually had him come in, and they did a physical on him and found out that he didn't have an ulnar ligament on his right pitching arm. He was born without it, evidently. And either that or it ripped off at a very early age and it just shrunk up to nothing. Because that's what happens with muscles when they become detached. They go away or they knot up, okay? And sometimes they just disappear. So anyway, they offered him $75,000. And he signs because he's a good kid and he wants to play baseball. Okay, so he signs and he is with he's with the Rangers, you know, for a good time. Ends up signing as a free agent, getting a deal with the Milwaukee Brewers. Also, you know, he was with the Brewers. He was with somebody else for a time.
The Mariners.
Yeah, the Mariners, Seattle. You're right. And then all of a sudden, it's the year 2000, and he's a free agent. Because he's 35 years old.
2010.
Who wants a 35-year-old guy that throws 86 to 88? My son does that, okay? And he's, you know, doesn't think he's a good Division I pitcher, and you know. But he throws 86 to 88, and, you know, he's got a little bit of a slider. He's got a little bit of a changeup, and he decides he's going to start experimenting with his knuckleball. And all of a sudden, he's getting people out. He has a good year in 2010. Then, in 2011, last year, He has an ERA of like in the low threes, but the Mets didn't score any runs. Didn't support. It was 8-14 last year. Okay. Now he's 9-1, Roy. And he's thrown what? Three shutouts? He struck out the last two or three times out. He struck out anywhere from 8 to 12 people.
Yeah.
You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
They do play today at 2 o'clock. They play Quebec.
Quebec's good.
Yeah. They're
always good.
They won a division last year.
Quebec is in Canada, by the way, if you didn't know that.
If you go to...
Or is that Quebec, New York? I don't know.
No, it's not. It's Canada.
It's not that far either.
If you go to...
Because you can go to Messina, New York, and you're right across the border because I wrestled with a guy in college from Messina.
If you go to canamleague.com...
Toronto's Detroit.
AMLeague.com.
Matt's never been.
You can see the scoreboard right there of Rockville versus Quebec, and it'll have the webcast there so you guys can check them out online.
Anyway, R.A. Dickey follows up Johan Santana's no-hitter, shuts out the Cardinals 5-0 yesterday. Listen to this line. You know, they got a couple of hits. They're all scattered, though. 9 innings, 7 hits, no earned runs, no runs, no walks. How do you throw a knuckleball and not walk somebody? And 9 punch-outs. By the way, his earned run average, 2.69. Hello. All-star, thank you. I don't care if you're the St. Louis Cardinal manager is Mike Matheny this year. You know, Tony La Russa finally quit. God, thank God. He finally quit. And Mike Matheny, who actually stopped playing baseball because of a concussion problem in San Francisco. Mike Matheny took foul tips on his mask so many times. And I guess Mike was in his early to late 30s when he was with San Francisco. He literally had problems sleeping, all kinds of problems neurologically. And he ended up becoming a coach. And look what he's doing now. He's a major league manager. And let me tell you something. That is as much fun, if not more fun, than playing a game. And I'm speaking from a manager slash coach's perspective because you get to help people. But R.A. Dickey, God bless this kid. He is going to make – you know, we had a similar story to this without, you know, the abuse and all that. Mm-hmm. And Ryan Vogel's song last year. And I've got one of the greatest interviews you'll ever hear of a guy, you know, that – I interviewed at Giant Spring Training, Ryan Vogelsong, a very spiritual guy, believes in God. You know, his wife Nicole is phenomenal. They got a little baby. He played in Japan for 2 years. He played in the minor leagues. He was drafted by San Francisco. Pretty much Vogelsong, Vogie's got to be 34, 35. But he's throwing 92, 93 mile an hour fastballs, and he is having the same kind of year he had last year when he made the All-Star game, when Bruce Bochy managed the All-Stars for the National League. But you got it. But I love what he's doing for the Mets now. Now, David Wright looks like he's come out of his little slump. He went 2-for-4 yesterday. David hit his 19th double of the year. He also hit a bomb during the game. 2-run home run. Looks like it was in the second inning, late in the second inning, and gave Dickey all the runs he needed. The other thing too, I mean, there's a lot of guys on this team I like. I love Duda. You know, Duda is a role player. I love Daniel Murphy, the second baseman. As a matter of fact, I voted for Daniel Murphy on my All-Star team. He's hitting .308. I mean, the kid's been unbelievable. He's been a little nicked up from time to time. Ike Davis has finally come back. Hey, what a big story this is, this no-hitter. Now, let me just tell you, as a manager, here's what Terry had to think about, okay? He had to think about a pitch count. I got a guy whose arm is very valuable, Johan Santana.
Yep.
He threw a shutout. I want to say he threw a 2- or 3-hit shutout the last time he went out. I have a photographic memory, and I don't know if that's true or not. But if you go back to his start before this, I'm pretty sure what you're going to see is that he threw another shutout. The other thing, too, is that, you know, when you get to 100 pitches, generally speaking, that's where you want to start looking to get your guy out. Okay, when you got a guy coming off his second Tommy John surgery, and he's got a little bit of a, he's still not in rehab, but he's just come back. Matter of fact, that no-hitter made him 3-2, Roy. So he hasn't even really seen all of his starts this year. Mm-hmm. He came back in May, okay? Now, it's 7 innings have gone by, right? I can pinch hit for him in the 8th. We're up 6-0. We're going to win the game, right? All I got to do is go to my 8th-inning guy and let him pitch an inning and go to anybody, excuse me, and pitch it at, pitch the last inning. But he's got a no-hitter going.
Yeah.
And there's never been a no-hitter thrown by a New York Met. Dwight Gooden, no-hitters. You know, Tom Seaver, no-hitters. Sid Fernandez, no-hitters. David Cohn, no-hitters. You know, no New York National League pitcher has thrown a no-hitter since the New York Giants in 1956, Sal Magley, when I was 2 years old. And I don't remember it. I was a big fan when I was a kid, but I was too young to be a fan when I was two. I'd heard all about Sal Magley from all my old, you know, my father's friends and coaches and all that. Sal Magley was evidently a hell of a ball player. So he lets him go out for the 8th inning. He gets the 8th inning done. He's sitting at like 123 pitches. He's got one more inning left. I think he might have been at 118 pitches. Anyway, he sends him out for the 9th, and he gets him. Now, people are going to talk about the hit that hit the chalk down the third base line by one of my least favorite people in the world, Carlos Beltran, who I don't like, period, because I just don't like guys that hold people up for money. He's a great hitter, but he can't even – by the end of the season, he won't be able to walk, okay? Won't be able to field a ground ball in right field. Won't be able to throw anywhere. But managers want great hitters so bad so they can drive in runs and score runs, they'll pay guys like that $10 million a year.
But I don't really see the big deal with the chalk and the foul ball because it's a judgment call.
It absolutely is.
So
but
you can zoom in all you want on a line that may or may not have been smudged. Dirt moves.
Yeah, but generally speaking, if there is chalk moved, it probably hit it.
Right, but again,
but I don't care because
the judgment call.
But it's the human part of the game.
Exactly.
And see, this is why a lot of people don't want. Bud Selig doesn't want instant replay. But you know, I was listening this morning on the way in here. This is very important. The commissioner signed off on them having instant replay this season. Mm-hmm. For calls just like this, and they haven't worked it out yet. Well, let me ask you a question. What do they do in their time? They don't have time to work this out? Are you kidding me?
I think they don't really want it in the game.
Do you know what the work? No, that's not what it was. You know what it was? They even said what it was. They said that the problem is if they overturn that and they've called it foul, what do you do with the other runners? That's very. You know what? That's a good point. Because does the other runners get to third?
Yeah, I guess you
get. Do they get to second? Would he have had a single? Would he have had a double?
You give all the runners a bag, and then I guess.
Well, you'd almost have to give. If it's down the line, you'd almost have to give him two. But would you get it? And the guy, if the guy was stealing second at the time, and the ball goes down the line, do you give him home because he would have got home?
No.
No, you give him like third, like a ground. But they haven't even worked that out yet.
You got to touch it like it's a ground rule.
They haven't worked that out yet. Hey, let's look at a couple other games in the National League. Marlins beat the Phillies yesterday. The Phillies have showed signs. Let me tell you about the National League East, people. And this is very important. 3.5 games separate the first and the last place team in the East. How great is that for the fan bases? Philadelphia, who a lot of people have kind of left by the wayside, they're 28-26 now.
They're good. I mean, there are three teams in the NL East that have 30 wins: the Washington Nationals, the New York Mets, and the Miami.
Let's me and you right now, Roy, because we you know, and I value your opinion. You know that.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Let's go by what is the percentage that we would put on if we were bookmakers, and we're not, but if we were bookmakers and we ran sportsmancavegambling.com in the Virgin Islands or wherever the hell. Costa Rica is where they all do it offshore now.
So you're saying I got to move to Costa Rica?
So you're saying we have a chance. The Washington Nationals, I'd give them a 25% chance to win the East.
Yeah, yeah.
There's five teams. I would give Miami 15. I would give the Mets 20 to 25.
Yeah.
I like the Mets. Atlanta, I don't think it's their year.
See, that's my team right there.
Yeah,
that's
but Atlanta. Chipper Jones isn't going to play, and that kills them.
Yeah, I like Atlanta.
I give Atlanta a 5%. Oh, no, a 10% chance, and I'd give Philly a 10% chance. I really think it's going to come down to Washington, Miami, and New York. The three teams that are within one game of each other. Roy, they've played 53 games,
yeah,
and they're within one game of each other. Mm-hmm. How great is that for the fans? Now, look at the Central Division. The Cincinnati Reds, who, for the most part, really don't have good pitching, but they can score some runs, they're 3 points out in front of St. Louis. St. Louis, as we remember, I kind of gave them the benefit of the doubt, thought they'd run away with it. That's not true. It's going to come down to them and Cincinnati, St. Louis and Cincinnati. And that race is basically going to be a two-horse race. You got to give Pittsburgh kudos here. They're 26-26, 3.5 games out. They got great pitching this year. They just don't have enough hitters.
There's not enough pieces there.
Well, they don't have enough money in the budget. The West, L.A., is losing ball games. And the Giants and Arizona, the Giants are actually starting to play a little ball. They're 29-24. They won a one-run game yesterday. Matt Cain threw a four-hitter. He was out there, you know, eight innings, faced two hitters in the ninth. They almost blew that game.
Yeah, the Dodgers, they're 3-7 in the last 10, like you said, but they are on a one-game winning streak, and they got a series with the
Rockies
right now.
And Matt Kemp is on a suicide watch because every time I see him, he's throwing helmets, he's kicking stuff. You know, you're not going to get better if you keep throwing stuff and hitting stuff. He needs medication and a therapist. Arizona Diamondbacks, you know, they've started to look kind of good, but they're just confused this year. Colorado has no pitching. And let's face it, San Diego, you're getting just what you deserve.
You're done.
You got rid of Kevin Towers. You got rid of Bruce Bochy. You're getting what you deserve. You have Bud Black managing your team nowhere.
And after the Johan Santana no-no, they're the only team in the major leagues who has not thrown a no-hitter in their history.
Yeah, I know. That is one of them. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back.
We're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, going over some MLB action for you.
I'm going to keep going while I'm hot here. And I was right about that. Remember what I
you
told
were
you?
Right, yeah.
I read the paper every day. My wife just thinks I'm crazy. I memorize everything.
I was going to hop in. I've had it up for a while, actually, with the Johan Santana, the start before his no-no. It was a four-hit, no-run shutout. No walks, 7Ks. I just didn't want to. I didn't want to interrupt you.
You know what? I bet if you go back another start before that, he probably threw two or three innings out of his last start before that. So he's thrown 18 straight innings of shutout ball.
He threw six in the start before that. He went 6 1⅓, 8 hits, 4 runs, all earned, 2 walks, 7 Ks. So
that's not bad. Hey, the Pirates lost a tough one yesterday. They were in Milwaukee. This kid Markham, Sean Markham, what a decent year he's having. For the Milwaukee Brewers, he's their stud. His ERA is 3.39, so that tells you what their studs are like. Yeah, but that's good. And you know what? They win 5-1. I'm pretty sure the cheater. No, you know what? Matter of fact, I don't even know if he played.
Wrong.
He did. Yeah, he didn't play yesterday. you know, he's hurt. Oh, what a surprise. He's got a sore hamstring. That's because his muscles are too big. You listen to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. The Pirates, God bless them. Andrew McCutchen will be an all-star again.
Yeah.
He's only hitting .335 for a team that has nobody in front of him, by the way, and nobody protecting him behind him. So they don't even have to throw this guy strikes, and he's hitting .335. He's also fast as the wind. He plays a great center field. And, you know, Chance, I think he signed a in-between deal last year. I want to say it's worth about $7 or $8 million a year. He signed it last year. I remember that. So the Pirates are trying to keep some of their best players. And right now, what they're doing is they've got a lot of pitchers that are pitching very well.
It was a six-year, $51.5 million.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's an in-between contract. That's like $8.5 million. Exactly $8.5 million. The Pirates late Friday night beat the Brewers. And this is when Braun got hurt because you can see he left the game in about the sixth or seventh inning. Pittsburgh that night had 13 hits. Now, for Pittsburgh, that's pretty damn good. But they faced Wolf, who is a left-handed pitcher. He's a real good hitting pitcher. But unfortunately for Mr. Wolfie, his ERA is 6.05. He's not going to do him much. The Rockies crushed the Dodgers in Colorado Friday night, 13-3, had 15 hits. What a great game that was. Anybody could have pitched for Colorado that night and won. Capuano, Dale Capuano, who used to pitch in Milwaukee, had one of the rougher outings he's had all year. Capuano's been pretty stellar, Roy, all year. He gave up 7 runs, 4 earned, 4 walks, 3 strikeouts, 7 hits, and 5 1/3 innings. That ain't going to get it done.
The Dodgers came back, though, and got him yesterday.
Yeah, they did.
6-2 with the 10 hits.
Yeah, so. And you know what? I was on the other side of that. Angels are starting to put it together. It looks to me like Andrew Pujols, Albert Pujols, Andrew Pujols. Albert Pujols is starting to figure out what he was doing wrong. I can tell him what anybody could have told him what he was doing wrong. He didn't want to listen to Mickey Hatcher. He just wanted to pout. He didn't want to listen to anybody that knew anything about hitting. He just wanted to pout and bitch and complain. So Mickey Hatcher lost his job, and now Albert's hitting well. What a surprise. The guy's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, steroids or no steroids. And you know what? A lot of people don't think Albert took steroids. I'm not one of those people. So anyway, we're looking at today's games. And the one thing I want to talk about in the National League for today is there's just some great matchups. The Braves are at the Nationals.
Yeah.
They've been here all weekend. Gio Gonzalez, who really has been the ace for the Nats, even though Steven Strasburg's technically the number one guy, Gio Gonzalez signed a big deal with Washington. Mm-hmm. They traded him, and they're in the and they just gave him a ton of money. Gio's got a 2.04 ERA. When he pitches, Roy, the Nationals are 9-1.
Yep.
Now Hanson has been. Tommy Hanson is a good pitcher, always been a good pitcher, but he's kind of having a so-so year so far. He's 5-4, his ERA is 3.84, and his team is 6-5 when he pitches. You got to take the Nats and Gio here. Yeah. Plus, Gio, man, I'm just telling you.
He's on an extra day's rest.
Yeah, and when he's home, he's pumped.
Yeah.
He loves pitching in that park. There were 42,000 people there yesterday because there was supposed to be a country concert afterwards.
Well, but it wasn't Dierks Bentley.
Yeah.
It was Big and Rich.
Yeah, Dierks Bentley was supposed to be at Nationals Park in Big and Rich.
Big and Rich came in and substituted.
They're good. But it was a big party over there. The Marlins are at the Phillies. Now, normally I'd say Blanton would be a good play at home, but he's got a 5.05 ERA.
And the Marlins are throwing Zambrano.
Yeah, pass on this. Both teams are 5-5 when these guys are on the bump. Reds at the Astros. You know, I don't normally like to take the Reds on the road, but this would be a good game to look at Bronson Arroyo. He's pretty good on the road. He's 6-4, and he's a good hitting pitcher. Lyles, on the other hand, is 0-4 this year. Every time he goes to the mound, the Astros lose. If you take Arroyo at -160, you're probably safe. The Reds and the Astros, game 2. Well, they don't even know who's pitching. Pass on that. That's a doubleheader. Forget it. Pirates at the Brewers. You got McDonald. he's doing it for the Pirates. Right now, he'd be an all-star pitcher, Roy. He would get an inning in the all-star game. He's got a 2.20 ERA, 4-2 on the year for the Pirates, and he's 6-4 when he pitches. They're going up against a guy that's the second time starting.
Kid looked good his first time out.
Well, Fears is good. You know, he's very good. But the problem is he's a Brewer. You know, and the problem with the Brewers is that even the Pirates will score some runs in that stadium. So I'd pass on this. The nice thing about taking a rookie pitcher that has some success is nobody's seen him
exactly.
Yet.
You don't know his stuff.
And you know what? If you can get numbers for this guy, I'd take him. But I'm guessing that it's probably a pick. Dodgers at the Rockies. Kid from North Carolina, University of North Carolina, White. Going for Colorado, he's struggled ever since he came up. You know, he's a good pitcher. He's a talent. They keep throwing him out there, but he's got a 6.28 ERA. You got to pass on him or you got to take the Dodgers.
Yeah, I like the Dodgers.
Yeah, this kid's got a 2.57 ERA, and he also is a guy that they've just brought up.
He's a young guy. Don't know much about him.
They've got some injuries, the Dodgers. Yeah. You know, and Billingsley, I don't know if he's on the DL, but he should be the way he's throwing. The Cubs and the Giants. Barry Zito. They're 6-4 with the Z-Man on the mound. He's going up against not Kerry Wood because he retired, but a righty named Wood who's got an 8.31 ERA. Take the Giants. Just take them. If they lose this game, it'll be because Zito gives up 8 runs in the first inning. But if Barry gets past the first 2 innings, he'll be fine. Diamondbacks at the Padres. Pass. Period. But I don't like either team, even though both pitchers are decent. Cardinals at the Mets. How can you not take Nice after the way he's thrown lately? John Nice and the Mets are on a roll.
And apparently the Cardinals can't score on the Mets.
Yeah, and you know what? The Cardinals are not that good. We're seeing that because why? They're 2.5 games behind Cincinnati.
Yeah.
The Cincinnati Reds are beating them in the Central. Take the Mets at home. You have to. We still have to. Well, let's go over the American League games. Then I'm going to talk about yesterday's games in American League. Today you've got Jake Arrieta, who was pitching phenomenally for what, the first month, Roy?
Yeah.
And now he's got a cumulative 5.37 ERA.
He's 2-6.
The team's 4-7 when he pitches. They're in Tampa with one of their big arms, who's 1-5.
Yeah.
Shocker Matt Moore, but he's good, man. You got to take Matt Moore.
The Orioles have hit a little bit of a slump
recently. Yeah, they have. Well, they've lost 6 out of their last 7. I like Moore. God, take Tampa in that damn dome. It's more like a basketball stadium than it is a baseball field.
Advantage.
But you know what? It is a big home field advantage. I still want to say they're probably at 75-80% when they play at home. Yankees at the Tigers. Oh God, I hate to bet against the Yankees, fellas.
But it's the best pitcher on the planet.
Yeah, it's Justin Verlander, and somebody threw a no hitter this week, so he's going to be throwing 100, 101, 102.
I meant Hughes was the best pitcher on the planet.
No, that was Nova. No, Nova won. No, you know when you bet Nova on the road, and all my Yankee fans know that, right? Yankee fans, when do you bet Nova? You bet him on the road. You never bet him in Yankee Stadium. But you got to take Verlander here Detroit. Take him. Red Sox hit the Blue Jays. Maybe one of the biggest surprises in Major League Baseball, Toronto Blue Jays.
Yep.
I mean, these guys are right there. Look at the American League East, just like the National League East, people. Last place, Toronto. 1 game over 500, 3 games back. And the only reason they're in last place now is because they've only won 3 out of their last 10 games.
I like them to beat the Red Sox today, though.
Well, you know what? The Red Sox seem to be having fun. Have you noticed Bobby like froze some dude that hit a home run yesterday? And oh, it was so funny. He's so weird. Anyway, but I gotta take. So you like the Red Sox here or the Blue
Jays?
No,
I like the Blue Jays.
Take the Blue Jays. Roy says so. I'm gonna pass on it. I'm afraid of the Red Sox right now. Athletics at the Royals. Excuse me. I would normally take Malone because he's a national pitcher that was traded there for Gio.
Mm-hmm.
Pass. It's just too tough to call. It's a day game, too.
Yeah,
and it's hot Sunday at 2:10 in Kansas City. Mariners at the White Sox. You know, Millwood has actually pitched very well. But the White Sox are the White Sox. Yep. And you got to go with Sale here. 6-2, 6-3 when he pitches, 2.34 ERA. Here's another guy that maybe makes the All-Star team this year.
And the Chicago Bats have really started to wake up. Adam Dunn actually looks like the
Adam
Dunn.
Did you see the bomb he hit the other day?
He's a lumberjack. That guy, when he gets a hold of one, it goes places.
He launched it, Roy. He launched it. Twins at the Indians, pass. Two AAA teams, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't like
the Rangers at the Angels. Listen, the Rangers have hit a little bit of a snag. They have.
Seattle put 21 up on them.
Yeah.
You gotta think that Texas.
Yeah, but do you know why that happened? Do you know who threw out the first ball for that game in Texas? Tony freaking Romo threw out the first ball, and it was 17-0 at the end of three innings.
That's a football
with
score.
The best team in the American League.
Way to go, Tony.
Hey, I'm taking Danny. Danny Heron at home. Danny Heron's starting to pitch.
See, I like the Rangers here.
You know what? That's for dinner.
All right.
Me and you for dinner on that.
Sign it off.
Me and you for dinner. Hey, Roy, I want to tell you something. I want you to write this down. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. You got a pen? Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. And I got to tell you, that is so very important. Get a professional to help you. Don't try to do it yourself. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We'll be right back. Leave this on. This is Pete Townsend, Roger Daltrey, Keith Moon. Cold. Before I get old. I'm already old. I don't want to die. Not yet. Not till I see the Triple Crown in New York next week.
So, Bruce, I've been throwing some questions out on the Twitter box.
Yeah, is anybody answering them?
Yeah, absolutely. But I want to forward these questions to you.
Okay.
Now, who was more impressive, Garnett's Game 3 or Serge Ibaka's Game 4 last night?
Oh, Serge Ibaka was on. First of all, he looked like Patrick Ewing on a perfect night. He's blocking shots, and he's 11 for 11, mm-hmm. and most of those points came from outside. He was hitting 20-foot bombs. Now, that's a long way for a guy that, you know, is a shot blocker. Mm-hmm.
No, I agree with you.
I like that. No, but for Garnett, very good, though.
And most of Twitter agrees with
you. And let me just tell you, Garnett answered the call the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to do it today, too. And we picked this game early in the show. If you didn't hear us, Roy and I both cumulatively agree that the Celtics are going to win. They're giving up either one, or they're getting one, or it's even. Depends on where you're playing. Okay, but take the Celtics, because the Celtics are going to win at home. They're going to win at home. Hell, I mean, I'm just telling you, they have more talent, and they have more players, and they're at home. They could win by 10. As a matter of fact, if Miami gets down late, they'll shut it down. You know that.
Yeah.
They might even get him and Wade out of there. I'm serious.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, I can see it happening.
Bring it back to Miami. Make sure the horses are ready. The second question that I threw out on Twitter is, what was more impressive, the Johan Santana no-hitter or the Florida University no-hitter?
Johan Santana. No, well, wait a minute.
See, I like the Florida no-hitter.
Well, now, who did Florida beat, though? Nobody.
Yeah, that's true. But it was during a playoff game.
It doesn't matter.
And he had less walks.
I would say, no. Look who he did it against. He did it against St. Louis. I mean, he did it against last year's world champs.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, got to give it to Johan Santana there. But you can't take anything away from a guy that did something that hadn't been done since I was 27 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, had black hair.
Both feats.
Yeah, I didn't have gray hair everywhere.
Both haven't done it in a long time in the Mets case ever.
And I could hear.
I'm always a fan of when it happens in the college ranks because you're swinging metal bats.
Yeah, but you know what? They're swinging BB cores now, which is like wood. BB cores do just what wood do. And this year, home runs were down in college baseball like 34%. Yeah. And that's because they're not using those jacked out metal bats anymore, which is ridiculous. Everybody should use, we use birch and maple and a little bit of ash. The best bat, in my opinion, and I'm not getting any money from them, but I should be, B45, baby. Out of Vancouver, Washington. Out of Vancouver, they make birch bats, and I'm telling you, those things are the real deal. B45s. You know, Louisville's Louisville. They're always going to be. They'll have some really good bats. They'll have some bats that are, you know, it depends on what kind you get. When you get the major league bat, which we don't get because they're too expensive, you know, there's a different grade on all the wood, Roy, that you buy when you buy a bat. All the bats look the same, but some of them are just a little bit denser and a little bit better wood. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We got a few minutes here to talk about the NCAA playoffs. We're going to talk about Division I. We're going to talk about scores from yesterday. Today, what's happening, everything's double elimination. You know that. They break into several regions. Most of them are east of the Mississippi, to be honest with you. But you're having today what we call elimination games. The teams that lose go home. The teams that win have at least one more game. And right now in the top of the fourth inning, you got a scoreless game with, guess what? Army is 0-0 with Oklahoma right now. Later on today in Tallahassee, Mississippi State takes on Samford. Samford shut out Mississippi State the first night, 5-0. They're the 3 seed, Mississippi State the 2. Clemson, Coastal Carolina at 12 noon. It starts as soon as the show is over. It'll be on all kinds of networks. Both teams from South Carolina, Coastal Carolina from Conway right next to Myrtle Beach. Clemson, of course, from Clemson, South Carolina. I never went to Clemson. I've been there one time. I was recruited there to play soccer in 1970. I went. It was 106 degrees. Nobody was in town, and I never wanted to go back there.
See, Clemson was actually my dream school growing up.
Well, you know, a lot. Well, when school's in session, it's a great place, but I was 16, and I was lonely.
But I only applied to one school only in my West Virginia.
All right. In Gainesville, Florida, University of Florida, they're hosting Georgia Tech and College of Charleston. They're in the elimination game. Here's a good one, NC State and Raleigh. Now, NC State was the number one seed. They're playing UNC Wilmington, and UNC Wilmington was the 3 seed. That game at 1 o'clock, the winner keeps playing, the loser goes home. This is the biggest upset of all. Carolina, the University of North Carolina, the number one seed at the regional in Chapel Hill, plays my alma mater, the East Carolina Pirates. Both teams, the 1 and 2 seeds, what are they doing playing in that game? They're not even supposed to be in this game. It's supposed to be the 4 and the 3. Okay? Well, they were both upset. Texas A&M, another 1 and 2 in an elimination game. Texas A&M hosting this in College Station. Play the Horned Frogs of TCU. Both teams, very good teams. The winner here keeps playing. Missouri State, nobody in Coral Gables, Florida, playing, are you ready for this? Stony Brook out of Long Island. I think that's where they're from. That because I know Stony Brook's in Long Island. Stony Brook always has a good team. Winner goes home. Keeps playing. Loser goes home. Rice, the number one seed, and has won national championships in the past. They're in an elimination game against Sam Houston State today. That game at 2 p.m. Louisiana Monroe and Oregon State, 2:30 p.m. That is a game. Here's a big, big upset and a big game. The University of Virginia, who's been in the top five for like the last 4 or 5 years, they had a big, you know, a lot of their kids left last year. They got drafted. You know, they were seniors. They got upset earlier this week. They play the Appalachian State Ball Club.
Mountaineers.
From Boone, North Carolina, who has a great wrestling program there too. And their Division I AA in football. And they have a great football program. Mm-hmm. They won the national title 5-6 years ago.
We've got
a couple of kids from South Lakes High School that play football there. Yeah. But anyway, they play at 3 o'clock p.m. today. You know, I almost would rather do this than go to baseball practice, but we got a hit today. Mm-hmm. Baylor plays Oral Roberts. Baylor was the number one seed. Guess where it is? Waco, Texas. Home of Baylor. Austin Peay, Cal State Fullerton. Now, if Fullerton loses this game, it'll be one of the few times I can remember in recent history that Fullerton didn't make it to the Super Regionals. They play Austin Peay. Should be a good game. South Carolina isn't playing anybody, it looks like. They're waiting for a game. Pepperdine plays Fresno State at Stanford. The winner plays Stanford, and if Stanford loses, they play another game. Here's another 1-2 seed, Purdue and Kentucky, 4 o'clock in Gary, Indiana. Purdue, hosting this, plays Kentucky. Kentucky has a very good baseball team. Vanderbilt is already in the winner's bracket. They haven't lost yet. New Mexico, Creighton, that is an elimination game. Florida State waiting for a winner in Tallahassee. The big upset guy and the undefeated team, Roy, in the in a good Eastern region in Chapel Hill, St. John's University. Huh. The Red Men of St. John's, New York, they are in position to go to Super Regionals. Oregon, same thing. They're waiting on a winner. UCF, University of Central Florida in Coral Gables. That's a great baseball team. They're a two seed. Louisville, Missouri, 7 o'clock tonight. That's an elimination game. Arkansas, the two seed, waiting on a winner. Florida, same thing. University of Florida Gators waiting on the winner of the elimination team. LSU waiting on the winner of the elimination game. The Ole Miss Rebels waiting on and I know a couple of kids that play on that team. Bobby Wall from West Springfield High School in Northern Virginia, big pitcher. He had a great year last year in the Cape Cod League, and he's only a sophomore. Bobby Wall at Mississippi. Brandon Snyder's brother Mike at Mississippi. Dallas Baptist, they're waiting in Waco for Baylor probably at 8 p.m. tonight. Kent State's undefeated. Let me repeat that. Kent State is undefeated. Stanford, undefeated, waiting on a winner in Palo Alto. UCLA, who's had some great teams over the years, they're waiting on a winner. And the University of Arizona also waiting on a winner. Now, I got to tell you something. I'd be remiss and I'd get yelled at if I didn't talk about this for a minute. Roy, pull this up. NCAA softball. I am totally in awe of this girl that's pitching for the University of Oklahoma.
Yeah,
a left-handed pitcher. Pull that up. I want her name. She could play on – I mean, she just – if you brought some of the best hitters in college baseball out and put them in the batter's box with whatever bat they want to use, and you had this girl from 40 feet throwing at them, they wouldn't even sniff it, in my opinion. They wouldn't even sniff it. But they are still doing real well. LSU is doing real well.
Her name is Ricketts.
Is that right?
I haven't got a first name out of her yet, but she had 16 strikeouts.
Yeah, and they only play 7 innings.
Her name is Kalani. I think that's how you say it. Kalani Ricketts.
That's right. That's exactly
season
what
high
it is.
16 strikeouts against number 1 Cal 3-0, and they play. She plays Arizona State now today at 1.
Arizona State, you know, Arizona for many, many years, you know, they had, you know, this is the first time that softball is not an Olympic sport this year. And I think it's just because we beat everybody all the time. But right now they're in the finals. You know, they're in the Final Four. It's California playing Alabama today at 3:30. California, number 1 seed. Oklahoma is the number 4 seed, but in my opinion, they have the team to beat. They're playing Arizona State. It's going to be a hell of a good time.
And Ricketts was named the 2012 USA Softball Collegiate Player of the Year. So that's
I love this song.
She's all. If you go to the Soonersports.com or any of the NCAA Sports.com, her name is everywhere.
Roy, where are you off to? I got to go to baseball practice as soon as I pack up. I may even have to throw BP from like 30 feet because all my guys that throw BP are going to a concert or something.
I'm home to Baltimore, actually. I'm nothing special.
What's that? The pregame? The pregame for the Boulders on WFAS. Is it what time? 1:30 p.m. And I got to tell you, I can't wait to get out there and see those guys.
Absolutely.
What a beautiful stadium that was.
I want to check it out. And like I said, if you guys want to hear them on the computer and you want to stream them, go to camamleague.com. The scoreboard will be right there. You can stream live there.
Yeah, I hear you. Listen, Roy, you have a great weekend.
You too, buddy.
I'll probably be talking to you Tuesday or Wednesday for sure.
And thanks to Kyle
Thanks, Kyle.
And Matt.
We're out of here. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We'll see you next week.